Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So a good TV show, reality or scripted, needs to stir emotions. And we know Ryan is the obsessed one here, a TV mastermind.
Oh, honey, you know I know the tea.
Plus, a lot of what we see in terms of representations of relationships, which fortunately or unfortunately includes extreme love affairs on these shows or extreme drama. So specifically, we want to talk about The Bachelorette. Right? Hannah Brown, the recent Bachelorette, and her dynamic with Luke P, who got called out for his aggression towards the other guys, and also really unfortunate abusive dynamic with her. So it got us thinking about toxic relationships on TV and how that impacts our relationships in real life. So joining us for that conversation, we have Dr. Marcia Sirota, who also wrote a great blog post on the topic. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Shira.
So I guess in looking at something like The Bachelor, Bachelorette, it's become such a phenom here. And I wonder, first, what do you think the intrigue is? And what are we learning from what happens on these shows?
I think the intrigue is the promise of quote unquote true love, which is a promise, not necessarily a guarantee.
Yeah.
And I think the things we're learning on the show are not such great lessons most of the time, because I think, you know, we get to see a lot of people behaving badly on these shows. I think the difference between the Hannah Brown season is she seems like a very sincere person. And I think that she did some pretty impressive things in terms of standing up for herself, asking for what she needed, being, you know, very clear about her limits. So I think she was maybe an exception in that she was trying to be a lot healthier than a typical reality show would have people being.
Yeah, but then we have this situation with this guy, Luke P, which it's interesting because mm-hmm. a lot of people have called him out, but it isn't necessarily how he is in real life. We know these shows can like really exaggerate certain parts of those people, and they cast them for a reason, right? To stir up the pot, mm-hmm. stir the pot. But what can we learn from that dynamic that came up from the show this season?
Yeah, I would say that that's probably the one area in the show that Hannah dropped the ball, because, you know, she kept this guy around way longer than he deserved. He was, you know, at least the way he was filmed and edited, his behavior was pretty typical of the abuser. You know, he was very aggressive. He would tell one thing and then change his story. He would backpedal like crazy. Hannah was constantly being frustrated by him, but she kept keeping him around. And, you know, she admitted on the Meet the Men's show at the end that she had felt an instant connection with him. There was a lot of chemistry. They had a shared faith. And for these reasons, she was keeping him on and kept hoping. And I think what this demonstrated is how people, they stay in a position of hope, and they hope and they hope despite what they're actually experiencing in the relationship. And so in her case, initially it showed people, yeah, you can keep giving this person who's behaving badly more chances, and, you know, even as they continue to behave badly, you just keep giving them chances. Finally, though, I think she finally changed the narrative, because she stopped giving him chances and she said, okay, I'm completely done. And despite the fact that he showed up again, and who knows whether this was his idea or the producer's idea, but when he showed up again, it's typical abusive behavior, someone who refuses to take no for an answer. And she made it very clear that her answer was no. And I think that was, so she turned around. You know, that was a healthy thing that she did. She finally made it very clear that she'd had enough and that she wasn't going to give him any other chances, which is good, because I think that, you know, in real life, a lot of people will even then give the person another chance. Either they're afraid of confrontation, or they just, you know, they have that kind of hope. And the problem with these reality shows is they really make people get caught up in this fantasy of romance. And so they hope for things that aren't really possible.
So interesting. Well, you could be a fan or not. I think there's a lot of takeaways from this, and we kind of want to get into that. And I guess how reality TV overall can impact our real life relationships. What are you seeing?
Well, I think that they they are models because these people are beautiful. They're, you know, famous because they're on TV. And so they become our new role models for how to conduct ourselves in relationships. And for so many of these relationships, you know, whether, again, whether it's filmed and edited this way or whether these people are truly like that, there's a lot of very bad behavior, a lot of dishonesty, a lot of corruption, a lot of cheating, a lot of poor communication. So it's showing people that this is, quote unquote, the norm. And I think the thing I liked about the Hannah Brown season is that she really tried to be a good person, an open, honest person with great values. So she was, I think, doing something slightly different in being this kind of an individual who was really looking for something sincere. And yes, she made mistakes. And yes, she wasn't perfect, but she admitted it. She took responsibility. She did all the things that, you know, you want somebody to do. She finally said no, and she kept her no clear, and she didn't, you know, backpedal in her no and say, okay, I'll try again. Like, she was good that way. So I think that a lot of reality TV sort of tells people, oh, it's okay to behave badly and it's okay to be dishonest and corrupt. And I think in this season of The Bachelorette, it showed that, you know, being a good person, being honest, being forthright, having good boundaries, being clear about what you want, not letting people mistreat you, those are actually really healthy values that she was promoting and the show was promoting. So I thought that that was refreshing.
Editing can really make, you know, the public believe a person is a really, you know, certain way. And of course, that person does the actions for the edit, all that thing, so they have a part to play in it. But I want to know, especially after kind of reading your article, you know, what if Luke is, you know, not necessarily this abuser that we're kind of, you know, maybe putting him in as an umbrella, but maybe it's just edits. How much do you think that really kind of plays a part in what we see and what we take in?
I think that if somebody is on the show for one or two episodes, it's easier to edit, you know, and sort of twist the narrative. But I think that he was on so many shows and there was so much footage of him and his behavior was consistently bad, consistently aggressive, consistently dishonest. So I would doubt that the editing, you know, could be, you know, changing it that much because,
right,
you know, there were long, long clips of him behaving really badly, and it was pretty obvious. And I think, you know, they would have to just not film him in order not to show that, right?
Right.
So I'm pretty convinced that what we were seeing was at least a version of reality, as much as a version of reality you can get on reality TV. But I think more than, I mean, I want to change your question a little bit, because I think that more than wondering whether Luke is actually this way or not, I think what's really important is to look at the way people are behaving and then to take life lessons. And I think the life lesson on this show is don't keep giving somebody who's behaving badly a million chances, because it never works out. All you do is you waste your time and get hurt. Don't deny what you're seeing just because you feel attracted to someone or attached to someone. You know, actually take care of yourself, stand up for yourself. And if the relationship is making you miserable and if it's so complicated and frustrating, that's a sign that this isn't good, and you walk away, right? So I think that's the message that I want people to really take away from that. It's like, if your relationship is giving you grief, it's not worth, you know, salvaging.
No, and I totally agree. And I actually can really relate to a lot of the things you were saying just from previous relationships that I've had. Mm-hmm. I even want to know, because I feel like there's even this weird fine line between, you know, obviously being toxic and then also being very passionate and wanting, you know, this kind of type of relationship. Yeah. I really want to know if you can discuss what is that fine line, and do people often confuse those two?
Yeah, infatuation too.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, because I think people really like intensity, but I think that intensity is the enemy of intimacy.
Ooh.
You know, too much intensity is not real love. It's like I wrote in my article, I actually wrote two articles on The Bachelorette. One was on how, why she kept Luke around for so long, and the other was how she schooled us in how to break up on the, you know, on the final show when she was breaking, when she, you know, was talking about Jed.
Yeah.
But I think that. Gosh, I just lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
Well, intimacy and intensity.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I was talking about Luke, I was saying that when he didn't take no for an answer, right? He was being intense when he came with the ring after she'd basically given him the finger and was like yelling at him and so mad, right? And then he shows up again with a ring. So this guy is intense, right? This is not intimacy. This is about a man who wants a prize and wants to, you know, own it and win it. And it's not about love. So intensity is never about love. It's never about intimacy. It's about ownership. It's about power. It's about control. Whereas love is much more of a slow burn. Intimacy is really about knowing each other. The other thing is Luke never, ever commented on all the wonderful qualities that Hannah had, whereas all the other guys kept saying, oh, we love your humor, we love your quirkiness, we love your honesty, we love your strength. Luke just said, oh, I love you, right? So he didn't know her. Intensity is not about knowing each other. It's not about caring about each other. It's certainly not about respecting each other. So I think that when you get too much passion, too much intimacy, it's never about love. And so if you want real love, you got to like sacrifice a little bit of that passion for that real trust and knowing and caring and happiness that you know, builds over time.
That's so hard because we all want to be swept off our feet, right? And
probably it doesn't hurt. Like, it doesn't help when there's thousands and millions of people watching you on live television type of situation, you know?
Yeah. And in real life,
Yeah. Well, you know, we can have, there's always the courtship phase, right? The courtship phase is always exciting. It's always, you know, thrilling to meet somebody new, to fall in love, to have all those fun moments of feeling that, you know, tingle of the newness. But, the courtship phase needs to transition into the relationship phase. And, you know, all that hotness, you burn out, right? You can't have intense. That's not a normal relationship. Look at long married couples. They're not intense. They're happy. They're joyful. They're content. They're connected. They're deeply connected. They have deep trust. They have fun together, but it's not hot, right?
Yeah.
It's not normal, real happy relationships. And when it's hot, it's usually painful. Right? When there's too much intensity, there's a lot of conflict, there's a lot of discord, there's a lot of frustration, there's a lot of aggravation. It's stressful. That's not a happy relationship. Yeah. That's not a happy life.
Yeah, someone said to me recently, as quick as they come, those are the people that will leave quickly too when it's not working.
Yeah. Well, that's Luke, right? It's like hot and heavy, but this is not love, right? When you know, real love, it takes time. That's the other thing about these shows. You know, people fall in love so fast on the show, and partly it's because it's the show, and partly it's I don't know what, but you know, it's real love takes a little time to develop. You got to know a person over time, over the seasons, over the birthdays, the holidays, the life events, and that's what really gets you to build a relationship. So,
right.
You
know,
well, Dr. Marcia Sirota, we really appreciate it. Where can people find your work? Because you write some great articles about this stuff.
Well, it's very exciting. I have a website. It's marciasirotamd.com, and I have a new online course. It's going up on my website any day now, but they can go to Udemy, Udemy, and I have a coupon for all of your listeners if they write Channel Q, Channelq, all in capitals, on my Udemy. It's Udemy, and with my name, Marcia Sirota. And if they go there, it's my new course on how to handle difficult people once and for all. They can look at all these difficult people, like the pathological liar, the Prince Charming, the control freak, the angry young man, the wounded boy, all these different interesting people. They can learn how to recognize them and deal with them in a strategic and effective way.
I need to read that. I'll become a student. Well, thank you so much again. And you're always welcome back. And keep on watching the reality TV, so maybe we don't need to.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on today.
Of course.
See you on TV.